Show the 800 number for the center and a name like Ford Support instead of the real direct dial phone number of each support representative placing a call. Microsoft may want to give their employees the option of telling people their phone number instead of having everyone they call be able to glance at their caller ID and know their extension. In this way, the company is able to maintain the confidentiality of internal numbers. But this same capability of reprogramming provides a handy tactic for the prankster, bill collector, telemarketer, and, of course, the social engineer. Variation. The President of the United States is calling. As co-host of a radio show in Los Angeles called Dark Side of the Internet on KFI Talk Radio, I worked under the station's program director. David, one of the most committed and hard-working people I've ever met, is very difficult to reach by telephone because he's so busy. He's one of those people who doesn't answer a call unless he sees from the caller ID that it's someone he needs to talk to. When I'd phone him, because I have call blocking on my cell phone, he could not tell who was calling and wouldn't pick up the call. It would roll over to voicemail, and it became very frustrating for me. I talked over what to do about this with a longtime friend, who is the co-founder of a real estate firm that provides office space for high-tech companies. Together, we came up with a plan. He had access to his company's Meridian telephone switch, which gave him the ability to program the calling party number as described in the previous story. Whenever I needed to reach the program director and couldn't get a call through, I would ask my friend to program any number of my choosing to appear on the caller ID. Sometimes, I'd have him make the call look as if it was coming from David's office assistant, or sometimes from the holding company that owns the station. But my favorite was programming the call to appear from David's own home telephone number, which he always picked up. I'll give the guy credit, though. He always had a good sense of humor about it when he'd pick up the phone and discover I had fooled him once again. The best part was that he'd then stay on the line long enough to find out what I wanted and resolve whatever the issue was. When I demonstrated this little trick on the Art Bell show, I spoofed my caller ID to display the name and number of the Los Angeles headquarters of the FBI. Art was quite shocked about the whole affair and admonished me for doing something illegal. But I pointed out to him that it's perfectly legal, as long as it's not an attempt to commit fraud. After the program, I received several hundred emails asking me to explain how I had done it. Now you know. This is the perfect tool to build credibility for the social engineer. If, for example, during the research stage of the social engineering attack cycle, it was discovered that the target had caller ID, the attacker could spoof his or her own number as being from a trusted company or employee. A bill collector can make his or her calls appear to come from your place of business. But stop and think about the implications. A computer intruder can call you at home, claiming to be from the IT department at your company. The person on the line urgently needs your password to restore your files from a server crash. Or, the caller ID displays the name and number of your bank or stock brokerage house. The pretty-sounding girl just needs to verify your account numbers and your mother's maiden name. For good measure, she also needs to verify your ATM PIN because of some system problem. A stock market boiler room operation can make their calls seem to come from Merrill Lynch or Citibank. Someone out to steal your identity could call, apparently from Visa, and convince you to tell him your Visa card number. A guy with a grudge could call and claim to be from the IRS or the FBI. If you have access to a telephone system connected to a PRI, plus a bit of programming knowledge that you can probably acquire from the system vendor's website, you can use this tactic for playing cool tricks on your friends. Know anybody with overblown political aspirations? You could program the referral number as 202-456-1414, and his caller ID will display the name White House. He'll think he's getting a call from the president. The moral of the story is simple. Caller ID cannot be trusted, except when being used to identify internal calls. Both at work and at home, everyone needs to become aware of the caller ID trick and recognize that the name or phone number shown in a caller ID display cannot ever be trusted for verification of identity. Mitnick message. The next time you receive a call and your caller ID shows it's from your dear old mom, you never know. It might be from a sweet little old social engineer. The invisible employee. Shirley Cutlass has found a new and exciting way to make fast money. No more putting in long hours at the salt mine. She has joined the hundreds of other scam artists involved in the crime of the decade. She is an identity thief. Today, she has set her sights on getting confidential information from the customer service department of a credit card company. After doing the usual kind of homework, she calls the target company and tells the switchboard operator who answers that she'd like to be connected to the telecom department. Reaching telecom, she asks for the voicemail administrator. Using information gathered from her research, she explains that her name is Norma Todd from the Cleveland office. Using a ruse that should by now be familiar to you, she says she'll be traveling to corporate headquarters for a week, and she'll need a voicemail box there so she won't have to make long-distance calls to check her voicemail messages. No need for a physical telephone connection, she says, just a voicemail box. He says he'll take care of it. He'll call her back when it's set up to give her the information she'll need. In a seductive voice, she says, "I'm on my way into a meeting. Can I call you back in an hour?" When she calls back, he says it's all set up and gives her the information, her extension number and temporary password. He asks whether she knows how to change the voicemail password, and she lets him talk her through the steps, though she knows them at least as well as he does. "And by the way," she asks, "from my hotel, what number do I call to check my messages?" He gives her the number. Shirley phones in, changes the password, and records her new outgoing greeting. Shirley attacks.